We have that smaller statue of Our Lady of Fatima on the altar. A religious woman friend of mine who was in a contemplative order gave that to me many years ago. And I've traveled with it wherever I am, devotion to Our Lady, well, to Our Lady. But I put it out especially because, as you well know, the Holy Father consecrated Russia and the Ukraine almost 110 years late, because it was asked of Our Blessed Mother to the children at Fatima back in 1917 or so. It wasn't done. Supposedly it was done in the 80s, but there's an argument over that. There's a whole history of it that speaks for itself. But that was done as well as the consecration of the whole human race, which the Holy Father added. And it's because of so much sin in the world at the turn of the last century that the Blessed Mother appeared, well, the angel appeared first, as you know, to the little ones, and said, "Penance, penance, penance," was the cry of this angel. And of course, the children were very young, barely knew their catechism, couldn't read or write. They prayed the rosary, but even then, children being children, their rosary was, "Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace." That stopped, of course, when the Mother of God came and instructed them. Another story to be told another time. The whole point of it is the penance to be done because of sin in the world, / to amend our lives, to change our lives, and to work on that. Oh, there it is between God's will and our own personal wills. We talk about it all the time, God's will, the spoiled will. And in our culture, but in all cultures, in all time, it's the same thing with the human condition. I want when I want, when I want it. And there is the conflict, because grace building on nature, as Paul says, and St. Thomas Aquinas rhapsodizes about, God gives us the grace, meaning his strength, that touches the will to be more conformed to his will, to amend and change my life, but also to do penance, not only for my own sins, but for the sins of the many. And one of the purposes of the body of Christ, the church, is that we as a community do penance, reparation, fast and pray and tithe, or give alms for the good of the whole human race, that we are the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space. And so we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as was Christ, and you who were full of grace, also fill us up with grace to be able to do penance for our own sins, to be not selfish but selfless, to be loving as opposed to not, and to work on healing, and especially, that big bugaboo, to forgive. Sometimes whenever we look at this particular gospel that we just had about the prodigal son, something we're supposed to be thinking about, which one of these am I in my own life? Am I this generous father? Am I this prodigal son? Am I the one who is full of righteous indignation because of this injustice? And I turn my heart into ice, and there's a certain blindness after a while and a darkness in my mind. And we live with fists that are clenched instead of a certain hospitality and openness. Hospitality, of course, means to welcome, to make room for, is what hospitality means. Hostility means to push away. Indeed, St. John of the Cross, as I often quote, said that a critical spirit keeps intimacy at bay, and it happens to us all. No matter how much we try, we are offended. We are resentful. Sometimes we want revenge. It's the human condition. And just perhaps, it seems to me, that it's worse than ever because of all the technology that's available to us. We have all this meanness and nastiness, war, which is always a punishment for sin, going on. And so the people of God, we can really reason that I am entitled to my shake the dust from my feet. And sometimes in certain situations we are, if it's toxic. But we've got to work on constantly praying for the very people in situations that have made us resentful. And St. Padre Pio, as I've said before, would tell people who would come to him in confession, full of anger, full of resentment, wanting revenge, "You must bless the people who have offended you. By your baptism, you have grace. You must make the sign of the cross to them in your imagination and your heart. You send out a blessing." Padre Pio said that so pleases the Father, because you're calling on the merits of the cross, that blessing goes to that person, whether they're living or deceased. But it especially, Padre Pio says, come back to you, the intercessor, twofold, twice blessed. And so we live in a situation, I know we were taught in our early Franciscan community as intercessors, it's part of the gospel. It's just not Franciscan or Dominican or Trappist or whatever. It's the spirituality of the church. We constantly bless and pray for conversion. And especially with the rosary, as Our Lady has said so many times and said it at Fatima, to pray the rosary melts that which is binding us, frees us. Whenever it's prayed with a cognizance of the mystery that I am reflecting on, and I do it as a labor of love, not a burden, and if it is a burden, it's a burden of love. I do it because of this event that's on the cross. All that he did was take on the sins of the whole human race, a terrible, heinous suffering that he went through, an ignominious death, and then this glorious joy, rejoice, 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 because he has overcome death and its sting is gone, and we begin again. It begins with our own baptisms, and we begin again with confession and confession and confession. Same old sins, Father, I don't know why I'm here. Because it's the same brand new mercy, that's why. He came so that we can approach him always because of the onslaught of what's going on in the world, in the church, in institutions and structures of all kinds. People become self-serving and selfish. Machiavellian, it's called, if you ever read The Prince, meaning I stab people in the back to get my own way, to achieve over them. It's the way of the world, but it's not the way of the body of Christ, the church, and we can get sucked into that dynamic. God knows we do. Please, God, there's this dawning, this signal grace that comes and penetrates me and gives me awareness. What kind of a person am I becoming? Why is this situation becoming for me a false idol? I almost adore it. I'm so caught up in it. I grind my teeth and I grit my fists together as I think and step back into the memory, because emotions are not subject to the laws of physics. They don't change. Energy follows thought. And so whenever I get those particular, whatever, feelings, memories that are hurtful and wounding, I might as well step into it and live it all over again. And I'm right back there. And it's not supposed to be that way because of this event. When we give it over to the Lord, and sometimes that has to be done daily, indeed, because of betrayals and terrible things that happen, it has to be done hour by hour sometime. Until, please God, we get to a point where we do give it to the Lord. Wash clean in the blood of the Lamb. St. Paul says that whenever we have those particular moments like this resentful son, St. Paul would say, over all this put on Christ. I can remember our novice master telling us to image, when he was trying to explain what that meant, to image yourself at the foot of the cross. Christ is dying on the cross. His blood is being shed. It is coming down on the cross. You are at the foot of the cross. In your imagination, either wrap yourself around the cross or touch the cross with both hands. Hug it if you can in your imagination. And imagine that blood coming down upon you and washing you. Strange as that might sound, certainly not a refined image. We are much more into beauty than pain. But to imagine that he is washing away all that has given us a hard heart, he takes those wounds and he mends them into scars, so that when we go to the Lord, Rather than having open wounds in our souls, he can see our scars that have healed over. Why? Because of God's mending grace. You know, we are to amend our lives. That's what it's about. Constantly working on change. Constantly blessing, not cursing. Constantly affirming, not discouraging. Father Dan was telling me a story the other day about St. Padre Pio. Interesting. In that a woman came to him once from the United States, and she was a recent widow. And she said to Padre Pio, and if you know Padre Pio, especially, he had the gift of second sight, sometimes it's called clairvoyance, or in Catholic spirituality, we would say he could read hearts. People came from all over the world to go to confession to him and to seek out counsel and healing. And many times they didn't realize they were getting themselves into because he confronted them with the boldness of things they didn't want to hear. But it had to be said, a shock, if you will, because he assured them if they didn't change their ways, they were well on their way to hell, to perdition. He wasn't politically correct. He preached the gospel with the prophetic voice, which is to speak the mind of God and to remind us that with baptism, so much has been done for us. Why do I nix or compromise the grace that's given? Because of, in this life, all of us experience the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, but it doesn't have to be a path that directs me down into isolation, loneliness, bitterness, too much of it in the world. She said to Padre Pio, Padre Pio, my husband, I really want to know, I hope he's in heaven. I was always trying to get him to go to Mass. He wouldn't go. To confession, he wouldn't go. He did things and was with people and went to places that I know were sinful. He didn't know that I knew. But I kept saying to him, you got to work on your soul, and he would laugh. Cradle Catholic that he was, he would laugh. He said, oh God, he's very generous. We don't even know if there is a hell. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know, on my deathbed, I'll get the last rites, and I'm sure he'll forgive me. Padre Pio looked at her and said, your husband is in hell. She blanched. She started to cry. Why, she said, he had the last rites. It didn't penetrate the soul. All of his life, he turned away from God. He was cavalier, my word, not Padre Pio's. And at the end, he had never amended his life. He didn't really know God. And even when the Lord came to him, which St. Faustina talks about at the moment of death, and the soul has a choice to choose the light or the darkness that they've always known. He did not repent. He never did penance. He never really converted. He was steeped in his own sin. He was dedicated to it. He adored it. He venerated it. And for that, your husband is in hell. What a moment. That woman became very upset. I would too. And it makes us kind of blanch because what am I doing in my life by way of conversion? Am I going to Mass and preaching to the choir? I know. But stop and think about the people that you may know who, for whatever reason, in their ignorance or laziness or self-determination, do not have a relationship with God. They don't venerate the Blessed Mother. Not that that is required for salvation, but for Catholics, it's certainly added grace. She who is full of grace. And so, stories like that, and they're rich in our Catholic faith, about how people choose to indulge in their own selfishness to the point of the exclusion of any kind of forgiveness. People who give what they have received by way of the wounds that they have, and so they wound. So in Lent, but at any time, it's a season for us to take the pulse, understanding that, yes, you know, this son who was upset, he seems to have, in our own sense, the right to be full of righteous indignation. Yes, he was. We all recognize that, of course. It's just that. You see, the danger is that it's poured into concrete. The danger is that that makes me bitter and unloving for the rest of my life. Step by step by step, we can get into a point that we're a living tomb. Step by step by step in our relationship with God, both in Holy Communion, whenever we go to adoration, and when we mention someone in confession, anyone that we mention in confession, at absolution, Padre Pio said, God sends grace to those people that you mentioned. Whether you said, you know, my grandfather used to tell me a story about, no sin there. Or you talk about someone who really hurt you or betrayed you. God blesses anyone that you mention in the sacrament of reconciliation because it is a strong form of intercessory prayer. And you do it over and over and over again. And the heart beats a little bit more warmly until, please God, it is on fire. Zeal for your house consumes me, Jesus said when he whipped that chain or whip, throwing out those people in the Holy of Holies who had made it into a marketplace. Zeal means to bring to a boil. And lastly, it isn't really the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal means lavish spender. Yes, the son was a lavish spender of the things of temporality, but the real lavish spender on the part of Jesus Christ and what he's teaching us is that God is the lavish spender, rich in mercy and full of love and loving kindness. That's the relationship that we are to have. And so we become warriors, don't we? We become intercessory, praying soldiers, if you will, for those in the world who especially needs your presence at Holy Mass and in confession and getting your kids baptized and being confirmed and your rosaries and your prayer life and your goodness between all of those events, because that is the lesson of the prodigal son. Rejoice and be glad, for those who have lost have been found.